standing by, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's webinar. We have with us Mr. Paul Lampoutis, Vice President of Capital Link, organizer of the event. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today. We now pass the floor to Mr. Lampoutis. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Paul Lampoutis, Vice President of Investor Relations at Capital Link. Welcome to Capital Link's webinar series. Today's webcast will feature Amplify ETFs on Time to Get Tactical, Rotate Between Quality Growth Stocks and Fixed Income in One ETF. This webinar has been approved for one CFP CPWA CEMA credit. We are delighted to have with us our featured presenters, Christian Magoon, founder and CEO of Amplify ETFs, and David Ryan, co-founder of Easy Investments LLC, index provider. This event is accessible through a live audio webcast and then as an audio archive through www.capitallinkwebinars.com. There will be a Q&A session after the presentation. Webinar participants can submit questions through the sidebar on the presentation page titled Ask a Question, or email them to questions@capitallinkwebinars.com. You can submit a question anytime during the event. Please note the opinions expressed by the presenters is not intended as legal or investment advice or advice of any kind as a matter of fact and are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Capital Link bears no responsibility for them. Furthermore, the presentation may contain forward-looking statements concerning future events. And now I will turn the floor over to Christian. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, thanks, Paul, and good afternoon, everyone. This is Christian Magoon of Amplify ETFs. I'll be your host during our time together today. Joining me a little bit later in the webcast is David Ryan, co-founder of Easy Investments. Real treat to have him on the line. As many of you know, he's a legendary growth investor, began his career in the early 80s working at William O'Neill, working with William O'Neill closely. He's been highlighted in a variety of different books, including Market Wizards, the very famous book on trading in growth stocks, as well as Momentum Masters. So he's going to be joining us today. We're going to have a little fireside chat and understand a little bit of why he's decided to now enter the ETF space here in 2018. During our time today, we're going to really cover four main areas. We're going to give you a quick overview of what this ETF is, this Easy ETF that seeks to track the index that David Ryan and his firm have created. Talk a little bit about why a tactical approach may make sense to investors. Honestly, we didn't time having this tactical growth webinar with the market swoon. It just so happened, and we've been excited about this product for a number of months on bringing it to market. So we're actually just kind of looking into this timing with this kind of recent volatility in the growth stock arena. We're going to do a Q&A with David Ryan to really get in depth and pick his brain on, hey, as a legendary growth investor, why are you coming into the ETF space now, and how are you taking your expertise and baking it into a rules-based index that, you know, seeks attractive growth stocks but then also can tactically rotate into fixed income. After we go through that Q&A, we're going to do an advisor Q&A. So feel free to input your questions. We'd love to get to all of them. And if we don't get to all of them, we definitely will follow up in the coming days. Before we get into kind of the meat of this, I first want to just provide a few words about Amplify ETFs, because we realize that on some of these advisor calls, not everyone is familiar with who Amplify ETFs is. And we're an ETF sponsor that's only about 2.5 years old, but we have 7 ETFs in the marketplace with over $900 million in AUM. In fact, 4 of our ETFs have been nominated for ETF of the year in their respective category or recognized as a hidden gem ETF by ETF.com. We've had some success early on. We're probably best known for our disruptive ETFs. Our first product that we launched, the Amplify Online Retail ETF, ticker iBuy, is an ETF that's index-based and owns a basket of companies that receive 70% or more of their revenue from online retail sales. That launched 2.5 years ago at $25 and is trading a little bit over $50 today. That's one of our largest funds. We also made some headlines here in this past January when we launched our Block BLOK ETF, the first actively managed blockchain equity fund. It's also the largest blockchain-related equity fund in the U.S., over $170 million in assets, received a lot of publicity and tied a record for the fastest ETF to $100 million. It took 5 days. In June, we launched two new ETFs, our BAT, B-A-T-T, and that's the Amplify Battery Metals and Materials ETF. It's an ETF that seeks to own the miners, the explorers, the reserve holders of these essential elements for batteries. And we're talking about cobalt, lithium, manganese, nickel, et cetera. That's what we launched that in early June. And then we followed up with the ETF we're going to talk to you about today, the Amplify Tactical Growth ETF with ticker EASY. And this is very interesting because now it gives exposure to growth companies that are attractive, we believe, from a fundamental and a technical standpoint, but gives investors the option to pivot into short-term fixed income should market become more in a downtrend. So that's a little background on us. Let's get into this ETF, the Amplify EASY Tactical Growth ETF. This ETF is index-based, as we said. It seeks to provide investment results that generally correspond to the EASY Tactical Growth Index. Now, EASY, what does it stand for? If you look at the footnote on the bottom, EASY is an acronym for Earnings Acceleration Stock Index. And if you're familiar with some of David Ryan's writings, some of the IBD content, for example, over the years, William O'Neill, you'll recognize that term, earnings acceleration. The index uses a rules-based methodology. It's completely quantitative, and it's really designed to optimize risk-adjusted returns by tactically rotating between high-quality growth stocks as markets are in an upward movement in terms of momentum, and then potentially rotating into fixed income securities during periods of market momentum loss. So this is a dynamic ETF. It really seeks alpha. It also seeks to be an ETF that has the ability to put the brakes on. Someone actually said, hey, this is a growth ETF with an airbag, and that may be the case, another way of putting it. So why invest in the EASY ETF? Well, it gives you kind of a couple of interesting things that the average growth ETF may not. First, you get access to quality growth companies in one convenient rules-based investment. And we're going to get into exactly what that means by high-quality or quality growth companies. Second, it seeks to lower volatility by tactically rotating out of equities during periods of market downturns. As you know, sometimes not losing is a great way to improve total returns, and simply being able to rotate into fixed income during periods of equity market weakness potentially could have some very defensive benefits. And then third, because this is an index, because it's quantitative, it's an automated, unemotional approach to equity investing. Not only are you seeing stock selection that's done on an automated, unemotional approach, but the actual tactical rotation is also automated and unemotional. So it really is a product that you can allocate to, and it really goes on autopilot because of its various methodologies between stock selection and asset allocation. So let's get into kind of the nuts and bolts, though, a little bit in terms of security selection. As you can see, kind of the line here is participate in the upside and then seek to lower volatility on the downside. And if you take a look at the left-hand graphic, that's kind of the cycle of the portfolio, if you will. The portfolio generally is an equity portfolio that owns somewhere between 30 and 50 in general growth companies that have strong fundamentals. It's rules-based. We'll get to kind of that actual unpacking of what those variables are in a minute. And then if markets reduce momentum, that yellow area, it actually rotates based off a tactical allocation signal, which is quantitative in nature, into short-term into a short-term bond portfolio position. These are bond ETFs that are generally low to intermediate duration. It's a way to park cash while equity markets are seeing a downturn. And then that tactical allocation signal again comes into play. Once that signal is tripped and we see upward movement in the market, the index then rotates completely out of short-term bond portfolio into the equity portfolio. This is a rotation that happens 100%. So the portfolio is either 100% equities or 100% short-term bond. There aren't any steps up or down in this portfolio. Taking a look at the right, you know, to get into the stock selection process a little bit, here's the general funnel. We're going to get into the variables and the weights kind of on some of these matters in a minute. So all securities that are listed on the NYSE and NASDAQ that have average daily trading volume of 300,000 shares over the last 50 days are eligible. This is a universe that is around 6,000 securities that potentially could fit into the actual funnel. Very broad. We're not limiting ourselves, or the index isn't limiting itself to the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ 100. This is really a go-anywhere growth strategy here in the U.S. There's seven proprietary factors that they look at from a quantitative standpoint. We're going to get into that in the next slide and unpack it. All the stocks are scored in these proprietary quantitative factors. In the stocks that have the highest overall score, they call it a stock growth grade point, end up becoming the portfolio, and that final portfolio is roughly 33 to 50 holdings when it comes to equities. So let's get into a little bit of this proprietary quantitative methodology that David Ryan has developed based off his experience as a growth investor going back to the early 80s and working, you know, as a really a protege of William O'Neill, and, you know, being, a three-time U.S. investing champion between 1985 and 1990. Some pretty interesting chops there that we're going to talk to him about in a minute. The equity allocation really has this kind of dual selection criteria. On one side, there's technical factors that each stock gets assessed on. And then the other side is fundamental factors, and they're weighted 60-40, with technicals being a little bit heavily weighted than fundamentals. We're going to ask David in a few minutes a little bit why that is, because I think that's a little bit unusual. You do not always see people selecting growth stocks or indexes selecting growth stocks with this type of mix. When we look at technical factors, what does that mean? It means looking at stocks in three points. First, looking at a company's relative price performance versus the S&P, as well as all of the other stocks in the index. Certainly, a better performance relative to those benchmarks is going to get a higher score. Second, measurement of how far the stock is trading below its highest level over the past 12 months. So really trying to see, you know, is this a peak stock? Is it really off that? And then third, looking at trading volume size relative to price direction. So believe it or not, having some context on, hey, it's a big volume day in a stock. Well, what is its price direction during that volume day? And that really says something to this selection process in terms of whether that's attractive or not. So, you know, a big sale day with the price moving upward, or a big volume day with the price moving upward, is probably a lot more attractive than a big day of volume but price being flat or maybe down. We're going to get into that in a minute. So that's the technical side. The fundamental side, which I think many of us are more schooled in the financial advisor and financial professional community, are really some things we've seen before, right? Earnings change. You know, is that positive or negative? Earnings acceleration, which is kind of unique, the actual acceleration of a company's earnings. We're going to ask David a little bit more detail on that in a minute. The sales change, the change in sales of a company and the return on equity. So all these factors are put together into a quantitative kind of proprietary model that scores each stock, and ultimately the stocks get a growth grade point. It's like going back to school for growth stocks. And again, the highest rated stocks end up becoming part of the portfolio. That's generally 33 to 50 securities, and these companies are equally weighted. So what kind of portfolio are you looking at right now? We mentioned we just launched this essentially last month in June. It's a very new ETF. It's launched in the middle of the summer. Here's what came out in the portfolio. Now, I think I just failed to mention that each month this index refreshes its portfolio. So each month the securities screens are run and the portfolio changes. You see, on average, 40 to 50% of the stocks change on a monthly basis when it comes to the Easy Tactical Growth Index. So let's look at kind of the current portfolio just from a market cap and sector allocation. You can see that currently the portfolio is primarily large cap, about 62%, but has a pretty good dose of SMID, 36% SMID. Looking at the sector allocation, information technology, certainly the largest allocation, but quite interesting, I would note, to see that financials and healthcare are fairly material as well and make up like 36% of the portfolio. Also a decent dose of energy names. Some of those financial, healthcare, and energy names maybe wouldn't think of as maybe the best growth stocks to own right now. At least maybe you wouldn't have a week or two ago, but interesting to see kind of what their performance has been of late, especially maybe relative to what the hot area has been, like information technology. Taking a look at actual top 10 holdings, remember, these are equally weighted, so there are currently 50 holdings in the portfolio for the previous month. So they all started out at 2%, and then since these companies have been moving over the last 30 days, you can see that there's some companies that have captured more market share just because of better price performance. You look at these names, and boy, you kind of initially, I think, looking at the top 10, say, wow, this is a very diverse, unique growth equity portfolio. Not exactly FANG-like, not very common with a NASDAQ 100. And I think quite interesting to see how dynamic this is and how this process discovers names that you may not own. I would assume there's a fair amount of active share in this product. And this goes back to the two things, really, the initial universe of 6,000 or so companies that can be considered by the index and rated by the index, but then also a unique technical and fundamental combination of selection criteria. Looking real quickly to the left in terms of fund details, there's about $9.8 million in the fund, which is pretty good start for the first month and a half of a new ETF starting in the middle of summer, given the volatility, so we're fairly pleased with that. Expense ratio of about 75 basis points, as you can see there. And we've had, pretty solid volume in Easy since we've launched. Yahoo Finance shows the average volume since launch at 21,000 shares a day, 21,584. So a nice little start to this ETF in terms of AUM, in terms of average daily trading volume. So that was really the quick intro on this product. I wanted to have advisors really understand what is unique about this, how does the methodology work, because that really sets the table now to allow us to talk with David Ryan. And, at Amplify, we tend to do disruptive products, and a lot of our focus has been working in disruptive areas of the market, market segments that weren't available, online retail, blockchain-related equities, battery metals and materials. And quite honestly, we view David Ryan and his expertise as something that's quite disruptive in of itself. And when you start to look at his career, going back to the early 80s, with him working closely with William O'Neill, who, as you know, was a founder of Investor's Business Daily, seeing the awards he's won over the year, including the U.S. Investing Championship multiple times, him being featured in a variety of books and publications, we really thought, boy, this is a really a disruptive person in terms of his market experience and his views. He's done something different in his career when it comes to growth stock investing, and it would be exciting to partner with him and really have an ETF that tracks an index that's his brainchild based off his experiences. So I'm going to bring David here onto the call, And we're going to go through a little Q&A with him and try to unpack, you know, why is he in the index business now, and obviously us launching an ETF that tracks it. You know, why was this designed the way it was? What are some of the key factors in the selection criteria? So I'd like to really start out, David, welcome to the call, and ask you a little bit about your career. Your career focus has really been on growth investing. And I'm just curious kind of what led you to being so focused on growth. You've been very accomplished in that area. And, you know, I think it'd be interesting for us to learn kind of what has attracted you to that and what keeps you consistently being kind of a leading growth investor.
Well, Christian, thank you for having me on the call. You know, I started in 1982 by walking up the front stairs of William O'Neill and Company and asking for a job, and then ended up staying there for 16 years. And during that, and you know, O'Neill was all about growth and all about finding the biggest and the best winning stocks out there. And he did a study, which then I've gone on and kept on studying, of what makes the greatest growth stocks in the market. What are those common characteristics that cause a stock to go from $20 a share to $120 a share? And so for the 16 years I was there, that's what I studied. That's what I helped him recommend to institutional clients. And I also ran – there's a few things that weren't in my bio there. I ran a mutual fund for 5 years, the New USA Growth Fund, in the early 90s. And after I left O'Neill, then I actually had a hedge fund for 15 years where I was just – it was strictly growth stock investing. So it's just that I find that in growth stocks that these are the stocks that you can make the biggest gains in the shortest period of time. These are the ones that really create entrepreneurial America. These are the ones that create the jobs that provide the growth. And these are the ones where you can have just some of the best success in the marketplace.
And David, I'll ask you a question that I just kind of came up in my head, but you know, a lot of people think growth stocks are synonymous with FANG, but there's a lot more companies out there besides Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, right?
Yes, there are probably hundreds of growth stocks, but then when you get down to it, there are probably 50 to 75 really, really good growth companies out there. And yes, these FANG stocks have gotten the attention because they've been very successful. They've had great runs for a number of years. But that's not going to always exist. I mean, the growth at some point in those names are going to slow down, and they're no longer going to be growth companies. Well, the market will move on. There'll be other entrepreneurial companies that come up with new products and services that create earnings growth, and those will be the new leaders. So the growth as a sector is constantly changing, constantly moving. And it's usually the names that you haven't heard of will be the biggest winners of the next year or the next few years. So it's something that's always changing. That's what makes it so interesting to me.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of challenges of being a growth investor too. I mean, clearly one is trying to keep current, right, with new companies that maybe are underfollowed or undercovered but have attractive technicals and fundamentals. What do you believe is the biggest challenge in terms of being a growth investor?
Yeah, it's really staying up on the names that are the real leaders in the marketplace. And it takes a lot of time to know these names, to track these names, to time the entry and the exit of these names. I spend hours on the weekends going through earnings and going through stock charts to find these names that are emerging that could be the next big leaders. So it's very timed involved, and that's what's so great about this index is that it really almost automates the process for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious, you know, you created this index, the Easy Tactical Growth Index. I wondered, you know, being an index, you had to create a set of rules, whether that's stock selection criteria or even this tactical allocation signal. Imagine that was an interesting exercise as you're trying to condense, you know, a lot of your experience and your time, your lessons learned as a kind of a leading growth investor into a set of rules. What was that experience like? I imagine it was quite unique.
Yeah, well, it's challenging to get it down to 50 of the best names and to, you know, to set the criteria of why those names would be in the list. But I mean, it's really something that I've been doing since the early 80s of coming up with the criteria and really honing down the criteria of those names that are going to make the great moves and the names that you want to be in and the names that have now ended up on this list on a month-to-month basis.
Yeah, and I imagine, you know, as long as you've been a growth investor, you've had to have a lot of discipline, which a lot of times you have a lot of discipline that works really well with baking that discipline into an index. And I know, you know, technical factors are part of this index selection criteria. Can you talk a little bit about why the technical factors of growth stocks matter so much? And indeed, you know, in the selection criteria, that has a little bit more weight, 60%. Versus the other fundamental criteria that you look at. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of technical factors?
Okay, well, the technical factors are really how is that stock performing in the market? And when a growth stock makes a huge move, it has certain characteristics. One of the main characteristics is that it's outperforming most of the stocks. I mean, I'm talking 99 or 98% of all the companies in the market on a price basis. And so when you look at things like outperformance or relative performance to other companies, that's one of the main technical factors. There are, you know, other factors in terms of price and volume. Is the stock moving up on increased volume? That's a very important factor because that's found in these greatest winners. And when I've studied the stocks that have made the big moves, when a stock starts out on its, really starts on its first base and moving out and moving out into new high ground, the stock is accompanied with huge volume, huge demand. It goes back to really supply and demand. Is the demand for that stock picking up as the stock is moving higher? I mean, is the volume increasing as the stock's moving higher? Or is the volume increasing as the stock's dropping, which is a negative sign? So that's another technical factor that our computers look at to find those stocks that have those characteristics of stocks that are in the process of a big move. And that's why technicals are very, very important. And one thing on the technicals is lots of times the technicals lead, and I would especially say on the downside. I've seen so many stocks that have had large drops, and then the following quarter or the next quarter reported, they say, oh, yes, our earnings have slowed dramatically, but the stock is already off 50% from its high. Well, that's where our computers would pick up those stocks that are starting to roll over, starting to underperform the market, and kick them out of the index. So technicals, I've always said, I buy on fundamentals and technicals, but I put a lot of weight on the technicals when a stock is starting to come off.
Yeah, so that explains kind of that skew a little bit to 60% technicals. And as you just kind of referenced, fundamentals matter as well, 40% of the selection criteria is based off these fundamentals. Can you talk a little bit, about kind of why fundamental factors of growth stocks matter, that it's not just about technicals for these fast-growing companies?
The technicals are created by demand, by people starting to buy the stock. But why would people buy a stock in the first place? Well, a move in a stock that lasts for longer than a few weeks, that lasts months and months and years, is created by earnings. And those earnings are derived from new products, new services. And the earnings are really – that's what makes large price moves. And when a stock starts making a move, the earnings are usually already on the table. They've started to come through. A lot of the stocks that are in our index are stocks that do have good 3 to 5 year growth records. They've already been successful, and they also have very strong quarterly earnings. And then within those earnings, the earnings are actually accelerating. They're getting stronger. They're going from, let's say they were last 4 quarters, they were up 25% every quarter. Well, now they picked up to 35%, and then it's 50%, and then it's 85%. And that's the acceleration that really drives big, huge moves in growth stocks.
Yeah, I think it's quite unique that you've been able to take these factors and essentially program them into your quantitative system, your computers, and then go out and score 6,000 or so equities on a monthly basis to select kind of the 30 to 50 that have kind of the most optimal mix of this criteria. The index reconstitutes once a month, and I think the data currently is that about 40 to 50% of the portfolio will turn over on a monthly basis. So this is, can you talk a little bit about this, how dynamic this is, why it's important to look on a monthly basis? Because many index ETFs might only look once a year at a universe, maybe twice a year, some potentially quarterly, but doing it on a monthly basis, I think, is also unique in this space. And I'm guessing you designed this on purpose to look monthly at kind of the opportunities when it comes to technicals and fundamentals.
Yeah, and to really step back one more time is that all these characteristics that we've come up that are part of this selection factor that brings in the stocks into this index are based on the greatest winning stocks of all time. We always want to be in those stocks that are making those great moves, and it's all based on the characteristics that we've discovered that do not change, that have been intact in the market for decades and decades. But in terms of changing the index once a month, found that markets move and sectors change and new sectors go to the forefront. If you just look over the last couple of weeks, what's happened to information technology? Yes, that's been one of the best groups for the last year and a half or so. But boy, when they fall out of favor, you can see how fast they can fall out of favor. And so that's why we're changing the index on a monthly basis, because then new groups can emerge as time goes on, and you've seen some of the financials, some of the healthcare, even a few of the energy stock names have come up and are now leading the market recently. The reason why we don't change the list every week is that sometimes too much turnover can actually hurt your performance, because even these stocks, they go through 5, 6, 7 days or even a couple of weeks of a pullback, and then they start coming back on. And if you're changing your list every week, well, you're going to be kicking things, some of the best names out, even after a very, very small drop. So that's why we found that on a monthly basis, it's better to turn them over on a monthly basis than do it so frequently as some others do.
All right. And I want to move on now from the equity allocations. The tactical allocation signal can change on a weekly basis. So every week the tactical signal is generated, and that is what pushes the ETF or the index into all equities or all fixed income. And this is essentially based off kind of some moving average calculations. And my understanding is, as the moving average in the shorter term violates a longer term moving average, that would be a downward trend, and the ETF or the index would go to fixed income. And then vice versa, the shorter-term exponential moving average, if it violates on the way up the longer-term moving average, it would move to equities. So very interesting kind of quantitative proprietary system. But, you know, taking a step back on this weekly tactical allocation signal, you know, David, you know, why does being tactical matter when it comes to growth investing?
Well, I think tactical is important in terms of any investing because, I mean, you can just look at what has happened twice over the last 18 years. We've had two market drops of 50% or more, and in some sectors it's actually been worse. So you always have to have some kind of out, so if the market really rolls over and the economy really gets into trouble, that you're not all your assets are going down with the market, and so what it does is it puts not an exact limit of where you get out, but it is a protection because everybody's asking the same thing these days is, you know, when's the market going to roll over? When's our next big correction going to come along? And this helps you solve that question by putting a tactical overlay on the index. And what it is just looking at some longer term moving averages. And if anybody wants to track this, if you take our index and you put a 39-week exponential moving average on our index, and you also compare it with a 19-week exponential moving average, you'll be able to see approximately, and I'm not going to say it's exactly, but approximately where we'll get the signals to come out of the market because we've back-tested this years, and we've also put on some proprietary calculation to avoid some whipsaws. And it keeps you in the market during nice uptrends and keeps you out of the market during longer downtrends. And since 2009, it's really only given one signal to get out of the market, and that was in late 2015 through June of 2016 when the market dropped 15%, then rallied back up, dropped back down to 15% again. And then since that spring, early summer 2016, we've been in the market. So we found that this signal helps us stay in the market for a lot of the best moves, but avoid some of the huge down moves. So it's something that can give you a little peace of mind when the market starts rolling over. Is when do I sell? Well, this really does it for you. And that's what I can feel comfortable about telling anybody, any of my friends, when they ask me, hey, which stock I should buy, I say, hey, well, buy this index that gives you the best growth stocks in the market, but also gives you an out if the whole thing starts rolling over.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's real interesting because that's very timeless advice, and we're hearing it as a concern from financial advisors increasingly over the last few months as we've seen more volatility, some of the growth names, the traditional growth leaders, if you will, get beat up, some of the FANGs, you know, Facebook, et cetera. There's a lot of concern from, you know, professional investors, financial advisors on their growth exposure, and agreed that it's up to them when they're going to decide to get in or out of their growth allocation or to reduce their growth allocation. And I think this product, the ETF, is very timely because it is a rules-based quantitative process that makes the decision the investor. And oftentimes, taking the emotion away and making it quantitative is a great complement in an existing asset allocation, especially in that growth stock allocation, to have, you know, something that could be somewhat defensive. And on the opposite side, we constantly hear from financial advisors and professionals who have done tactical SMAs or maybe tactical traditional mutual funds that quite often the fund goes in and out so often between stocks and income that it's almost counterproductive. And, of course, some of those vehicles, it even creates some pretty significant tax consequences. So to look at something that maybe isn't quite as sensitive, you've been in the index has been in the market for a while now, which has actually benefited it. but also doing it in the wrapper of the ETF vehicle to potentially be a little bit more tax efficient, I think offer some nice advantages for investors. So, you know, David, ultimately, the tactical allocation signal's goal is really to try to act as kind of a measure of protection for growth investors who traditionally, unfortunately, kind of ride the roller coaster of growth stocks and from time to time have a hard time really maintaining a sell discipline, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and it's hard to time individual stocks. This gives you a little bit more diversity because you've got your 50 stocks, you have 50 stocks in the market. But then also this tactical overlay will tell you, hey, when the whole group, and when we can't find any more growth stocks that are really outperforming, then this is where the tactical starts kicking in and moves you out into some very short-term conservative bond funds.
Now, you created this index, I imagine, not just to kind of create this rules-based approach to, you know, license. I'm guessing there was some, you know, altruistic motivation behind this. You know, how do you think this is going to benefit the investment community? I mean, what's your goal with producing this index, where it kind of again distills a lot of the lessons you learned going back to the early 80s and puts it into, you know, an ETF where people can buy it, you know, in any given day on a national stock market. I'm curious kind of, you know, what the motivation behind this for you. I'm sure there's a few experiences or stories that you've had of growth investors buying one stock or getting scared out of the markets. Just curious on, you know, again, what the goal of this index creation was for you.
Well, for me, it was really to automate the process. And, you know, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I had the energy and the time to really focus and dedicate most of my time to keeping up with these stocks. And what this does for me is give me 50 of the best stocks. And it's a dynamic, changing list of stocks every month and moves from sector to sector that is now leading the market. And then also, even in terms of market cap, If all of a sudden small cap becomes the best, you know, best area of the growth market, then you'll have a lot more small caps in there, and maybe large caps will actually get a smaller percentage. But it really sort of takes everything I've done and automates it and puts it into one easy package that you can buy and really hold on to with that, you know, peace of mind that if the growth sector of the market starts rolling over, then I'll be protected, and then it'll get you back in when the sector starts moving back up again. So it's really, you know, a little bit on the selfish side, but it's really doing the work for me. The other thing I like about it too is that I can also even, you know, look at the list and find stocks that I might want to buy individually. Of, you know, it gives me a nice set 50 list of great growth stocks that I can pick and choose if I want any individual stock exposure.
Yeah, I imagine you're a little bit like a kid in the candy store when the computer spits out the latest list. I imagine it's quite interesting for you to be able to look at those stocks. I know for us it's been interesting to keep an eye on it, and we're looking forward to looking at kind of the next list that'll be generated pretty soon here. Early in this next month. Let me do a few housekeeping items right now, David, and then I think we're going to move to the advisor Q&A. So a couple things. If you want to learn more about the ETF, there's a variety of materials, complete holdings list, etc., on the Amplify website. You can go to amplifyetfs.com. You can also go to easyetf.com. That'll get you to the same kind of fund homepage. That'll be a little easier to type if you want. Also, you can feel free to talk to our distribution team. We're located in Wheaton, Illinois, and we've got a variety of distribution people who are dealing with financial advisors on any given day. Their 800 number, 855 number is there on the slide in front of you. certainly if you'd like to have further information or go deeper and maybe even dialogue with David Ryan, we'd be willing to set up some calls with him as well. He's obviously a wealth of knowledge. If you're interested in looking more into the index, there's materials and information about the index that aren't on the fund site. You can go to the index website. That's easy, EASIinvest.com. Easy, EASIinvest.com. And that is the index provider site. You'll find more information on the index on that site. That's certainly something worth checking out. Also, you know, if you need some more information or you don't want to call us, you can feel free to email us at info@AmplifyETFs. If you want someone to reach out to you, we'd be happy to respond via email. You know, a couple other housekeeping items. We do have some important disclosures. So just risk disclosures that it's important for us to show. One more. These are generally risk disclosures for the ETF itself. These probably look familiar to you if you ever looked at a bottom of a ETF fat card, but want to be compliant here. Now I'd like to move into a little bit of the Q&A here. We've got one question here on the EASY index in terms of when it actually was out of the market. Know that you have some real-world history of the index that goes back about 2 years, approximately. Then you have some back-tested history of the index. Can you talk a little bit about maybe the last 5 or 10 years that incorporates both sets of data in terms of how many times, for example, what would the index been out of the market during the last 5 to 10 years. I'm not sure what the best time period for you to speak on, David, is, but I know that it's been out out of the market several different times, and I'm not sure to what detail you can speak to that on this call, but I wanted to ask you that since it's a slide.
You can go back. We'll go back to the last, one of the last horrible markets, 2008 through 2009, where the market rolled over. It got a sell signal in early 2008, really in almost January of 2008, and stayed out of the market through about halfway through the 2009 period. Now, the market hit bottom in March of 2009. Our index didn't give a buy until June of 2009. But then stayed in the market all the way until 2015, and so one thing good to know is that we're not going to get the top. This thing is not trying to time the top of the market or the bottom of the market, but it's trying to get probably the middle 70%, 75% of the move. So on average, off the top, it's about. You move out of stocks or out of the index and into short-term bonds about 12% off the high, and it's the equivalent or maybe even a tiny bit more coming back in onto the buy side. The last most recent time this came out of the market was in 2015, and that was late in the fall of 2015 and stayed out until about April, May of 2016. And at that time, the market declined 15%. And so we avoided that, really two moves of 15%. It kind of went down, came back up, went down, came back up. And then we came back into the market. So those are the most two recent ones. But again, if you wanted to do this yourself and track this yourself, you can just go to a free site called stockcharts.com or any other charting service and put in these 19 and 39-week moving averages, exponential moving averages on the S&P, or if you want to back test it on other, on the Dow or the Triple Qs or the NASDAQ, you can just put those index on there and you'll see some very, very good buy and sell signals. And now, remember, that's an approximation. It's not going to be exact, so don't get upset if you know, ours doesn't click in exactly on the day that happens, but it should be fairly close.
Yeah, good color there. Another question: why is it that the index looks at so many stocks and didn't just look at, for example, the S&P 500 or the Russell 3000? Why was it important that, you know, around 6,000 stocks are analyzed to be included in the index?
Because yes, some of those stocks will be in the S&P 500, but a lot of the stocks won't be in the S&P 500, and I would probably a majority of them. And it also depends on, you know, what sectors, what market cap of sectors of the market are really in favor. But you want to look at the entire universe, because you don't know if it's going to be some small cap stock that is going to be, that's then going to turn into the next big huge mid cap that's going to eventually be a great winner as a large cap. So you want to be looking at as many stocks as you can to find those gems that have those characteristics found in the greatest winners.
I agree. Going anywhere is having a bigger opportunity set is always, I think, the best move, right? Here's a question: are there any constraints in terms of your sector or market cap exposure? You know, could you be theoretically, you know, 70% in a sector or 70% in a market cap? Does the index have any constraints around that?
No, it doesn't. At 70%, we've been working with the index, I've never seen a sector or a group become that huge. At sometimes, back earlier this year and in parts of last year, there was a greater weighting in like semiconductors and semiconductor capital equipment companies. And I think the biggest grouping and the greatest sector I've seen is probably 40% or so. But what's good is that you're getting a group move and a sector move when that is really, really in favor, and that's where you can get some really good price performance. But on the other side is that if that group starts falling out of favor, you'll start seeing those names drop off the list. So it's not as if we're buying and holding and you're going to get horrible performance when that whole sector moves over. The index will be moving from the sectors that are strong in the market and avoid those and move away from those that are starting to decline.
And you see the same thing with just different stock capitalizations, I'm guessing, that at times large caps are in favor over small caps. I think even this year we've seen, lately, given the global tariff talks, some wind in the sails of, you know, smaller cap companies who might not be as affected by some of this global tariff talk. Do you see some of that rotation in and out of these different capitalizations?
Yeah, and you can see that. I mean, you can see that just even by, up until the last couple of weeks, that the Russell 2000 was really starting to outperform the S&P 500, and so that would create more stocks coming into our index, and so a small cap would get a greater weighting, and the large cap would move down. So it not only moves among sectors, but it moves among market cap allocation, and it's really, really dynamic in that you're not stuck in a sector that all of a sudden goes out of favor and it's out of favor for a year and a half. It's a living, breathing animal that's constantly changing to put you in the best sectors and the best market cap companies.
And then one final question here. Obviously, these are all U.S.-based companies. Do you feel like there's any disadvantage by just focusing in on U.S.-based growth companies versus doing something that's more on a global nature?
I've always said that there are ADRs that can come onto the list. I haven't seen that many, but usually if our markets aren't doing well, usually we're such a big part of the world economy, it's hard for other sectors, other countries to really, really outperform. But there's more than ample opportunities to find good growth stocks within the United States. But again, there can be ETFs that trade on U.S. exchanges that is part of our universe that could be part of the easy index.
Okay. Well, David, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been great to kind of learn a lot about from you, whether it's you know, but I need to partner with you and to license the Easy Tactical Growth Index for the Easy ETF. And we look forward to doing more educational events and outreach to financial advisors. I'd like to thank all the advisors on the call today, taking some time out of their day to listen. We thought this was a very timely webinar. Being tactical maybe matters more to a lot of people over the last 2 weeks than maybe it did a couple of weeks before. And I trust you're able to see kind of the value this product brings to the table in terms of stock selection, but also being able to rotate out into fixed income during downward trending markets. So for Amplify ETFs, this is Christian Magoon and David Ryan saying thank you for joining us, and we look forward
thank
to
you.
Speaking with you again in the future. Thanks, and make it a great
thank
day,
you.
Everyone.
Okay, bye-bye.